While there might be disagreement about what is true and what's not, most people would agree that not all of the news that's shared on social media should be trusted. Our next guest looked at what being news literate means, how it affects what we see and share on social media, and what happens when we think we have a critical eye, but don't. Emily Vraga is an associate professor at the Hubbard School of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of Minnesota, where she holds the Don R. and Carol J. Larson Professorship. She received her PhD from the UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication, and her research focuses on how individuals process news and information about contentious issues. Emily, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
So what do we mean by the term news literacy?
So that's one of the problems, actually, with news literacy research, is that people using the term can mean a lot of different things. What we tried to do is narrow the definition of news literacy back to something that we all understand, literacy. So in this case, it's knowledge about the media systems in the U.S. and how they work and their effects.
And how long has the idea been around, the idea of either news literacy or, I think, what really brings it into relief is news illiteracy?
The concept of news literacy has been around for decades, and it's part of a much larger framework where we think about media literacy or information literacy, both of which go back 100 years.
When you did this research and talked to people about news literacy, how important did they think being news literate is?
People tend to think it's very important. They say that news literacy is very important for a democratic society. They believe strongly that people should be critical news consumers and that that's an important part of how democracy works. The problem is they're not always able to live up to their own expectations.
And tell us a little bit about who you studied and how you tracked their news literacy and their news consumption.
So this is a survey of American adults in 2017. So we asked a representative panel of Americans a bunch of questions about their news literacy, what they knew about the news system, how news is made, how the news fits into the economic directives. We also asked them a bunch of questions about what they do on social media. Are they seeing a lot of posts about news? Are they seeing posts about politics? Are they themselves sharing posts about politics and news?
And what do you know about the people who were answering the survey? How did you find them? What did they represent demographically?
So we worked with a firm to recruit a nationally representative sample. So it was supposed to represent Americans in terms of gender, race, education, all of those characteristics that we want to see matched on. That being said, it is an online sample. So there is a possibility that our participants are a little bit more internet savvy than the average American, just because there's people who are participating in an online survey.
So these people responded to the survey. How did you then measure news literacy based on their responses?
So we asked them a series of 10 questions, and each of them were multiple choice, and we had a correct answer. And we took a score from 0 to 10, how many of these knowledge questions you got right. So some of the questions asked about whether reporters need to be licensed, how many companies own the majority of media content, or what the effects of media consumption are on the public.
And how did you then take their answers and create kind of a profile of news literacy?
So that we summed them all up. On average, people got about 5 out of the 10 questions correct. So not a substantial amount of news literacy. And then we compared that to some of their individual characteristics, as well as whether they thought of themselves as media literate and whether they thought media literacy or news literacy was important for democratic society.
We're talking with Emily Vraga right now. She's an associate professor at the Hubbard School of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of Minnesota. And we're talking about news literacy and what the correlations are between being news literate and what we see, believe, and share on social media. And we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. How would you rate your news literacy? Is it something that you've worked to develop? How skeptical are you of what you read on social media, and how careful are you about what you share? And if you've ever challenged a friend about what they're posting on social media, we'd love to hear how that went. You can give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And Emily, did you find any demographic differences, maybe age or race or geographic location, in as an indicator of news literacy or less than good news literacy?
So there's a lot of research looking at which people are news literate. What we really wanted to do in this study was build on that and see, well, does news literacy relate to different types of behaviors on social media? And so that's really where we focused our efforts. And what we found is that people who have more news knowledge, people who really understand how the media system works in the United States, were the people who were less likely to say they were posting a lot of content on social media across three different sites. And they were also less likely to see a lot of that content. So what it seems to indicate is people who are high in news literacy might be opting out a little bit of this kind of posting of news and political content online.
And so are they making a conscious decision to look elsewhere? Are they sharing information in other ways with people other than on social media?
We weren't able to answer that question. We don't know if they're taking that content and going somewhere else. We do know that people who are news literate tend to be much more engaged in the news than your average person. So I certainly expect that they are doing a lot more of that in other spaces. But given that social media, for better or for worse, is where a lot of people get news and information, I think it's troubling that people who really understand the news system aren't contributing to a high-quality information environment in those spaces.
Neil on Facebook says, I get most of my news from WPR and MPR, Minnesota Public Radio. I'm often telling friends to fact-check their posts because of what I have heard on these sources. And were you able to determine, Emily, whether people are actively fact-checking what they see when they are engaged on those social media platforms?
We didn't look at that question, although I think it's a really important one. Instead, we just asked people how skeptical in general are they of the news stories that they see on social media, whether they think credible news and misinformation are kind of occupying the same space. And what we find is, again, those people with very high news literacy are the people who are really skeptical. And importantly, people who see themselves as news literate are less skeptical. So there seems to be a bit of a disconnect between people thinking of themselves as news literate and people actually being news literate, having that knowledge.
Were you able to look at whether the skepticism is directed more at content on certain sites? Because you looked at different sites, for instance, Facebook versus Twitter versus YouTube versus Reddit. Is there something about where people are getting the information that either tips them off, oh, I need to give this a second look, or, oh, I can trust this?
Unfortunately, our measure of skepticism just asked about social media generally. So whereas I can, tell you that people who are news literate, it's not that they're not just sharing information on Facebook, they're also not sharing it on Twitter, they're also not sharing it on YouTube. We can't answer whether skepticism is localized to particular social media sites. That said, those results were very consistent when we looked just at Facebook users or at Twitter users or at YouTube users. So we suspect that skepticism isn't being differentiated between social media platforms.
We're continuing our conversation about news literacy and how it affects what we see and share on social media. Emily Vraga is with us. She's an associate professor at the Hubbard School of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of Minnesota. Her research focuses on how individuals process news and information about contentious issues. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What does being news literate mean to you, and how important do you think it is? How often do you fact check what you see, believe, and share on social media? Do you think social media is a good place to get information and news? If not, what do you think are better sources? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or tweet us at Central Time WPR. And let's go to the phones, and Ken in Blanchardville is up. Hi, Ken.
Well, hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm really pleased about this topic, and it's something that is really important to me, is being highly news literate, or at least I think I am. And, of course, if you have conversations with people about politics and whatnot, oftentimes, even when they have an opposing view, they might say or feel the same thing, that they have a high level of media literacy.
And how have you developed your news literacy, would you say, Ken?
By being skeptical, completely, totally, utterly skeptical about everything that I hear, and then vetting my sources. So, which means to me is listening to every side of the conversation, being from Amy Goodman to Wisconsin Public Radio to the PBS NewsHour to right-wing news sources, including even Fox News, as much as I can stomach it. But I think it's important. And I actually go on to a lot of the right-wing propaganda sites and enter into conversations with them just to kind of get a pulse of where, how these people think, how they feel, why they feel the way they do. And so I think you get a better balance about where it really strikes. But the main thing I wanted to point out, though, is it seems that we're stuck in this loop of the messaging that comes out from either side of the political aisle that is based on polling data and tools. How much can we, what do we need to say based on what we think people believe, as opposed to what's the truth, period?
Thanks for that call, Ken. And Emily, Ken sounds like he is someone that who would have scored very high on your news literacy.
And definitely would have scored very high on the valuing news literacy. And those are two different but related things. One can be very news literate and not think it's particularly important. One can think it's very important and not necessarily be that news literate. And I think the other point that Ken made that's very interesting, in a different set of research, we've shown that people who value news literacy, people who see themselves as news literate, also tend to value talking to people they disagree with, exposing themselves to different viewpoints. So that's a really important thing as well.
Let's go back to the phones, and Terry in Genoa is up. Hi, Terry.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What would you like to share?
One thing that's occurred to me is how difficult it can be to have a conversation with someone when your definition of what a reliable source is. You know, if you're talking to someone who thinks, I've actually talked to someone who says the World Health Organization is not a credible source. And I find myself very, very kind of stuck in how to respond to that.
Hmm. That's a great point, Terry. And Emily, what is there a definition of what a credible source is? How do we determine if it's not one we're familiar with or if someone else says, oh, I don't think that's credible?
That's a really tough question because credibility to some extent is in the eye of the beholder, much as we might sometimes wish otherwise. People tend to think of things like expertise as particularly important to credibility, and that tends to be the case. But as we rely on individuals to think about what is credible or not, as social media sites are increasingly doing, that can introduce different challenges. That said, we have seen that when an expert organization is sharing information on social media, it tends to be more convincing than when it's coming just from everyday people. So when the CDC, for example, is sharing information, that can be quite persuasive when they're attempting to correct misinformation. So I think that's hopeful as well.
We had a comment on Facebook from Sue, and she says, I get my news from WPR, NPR, and BBC. If I look at news stories on social media, the first thing that I do is to look at the source of the story. If it isn't reputable, I skip it. My next step is to consider whether it's a source that leans one political direction or the other. I read the story with that leaning in mind. And I think that's a really good point because there is not, this is kind of philosophical, but there is not out there somewhere the Chronicle of what is absolutely true. There is always going to be some perspective. And maybe the most important thing, Emily, is to take that perspective into consideration.
That's definitely right. And the other thing to point out is skepticism and cynicism aren't the same thing. We want people to be skeptical. We want them to be doing exactly that, thinking critically about the source of the information, who's paying or who's profiting for that, what any agenda they might have is. What we don't want them to do is be cynical and say, I can't trust anything I see on social media. I can't trust anything I hear from particular platforms like social media, where you do have very high quality information, sharing the same screen real estate as low quality information.
Let's go back to the phones, and Melissa in Madison is up. Hi, Melissa.
Hi. Yeah, I just appreciate the conversation and wanted to share that I do think I'm pretty news literate, and I, like the previous caller, I read the National Review for kind of the more conservative point of view, even though I'm progressive. And if I read something convincing, I might even share it on Twitter. But I definitely am done with Facebook. I don't even have an account there. So I do differentiate between the different social media platforms.
Thanks for that, Melissa. And Emily, that actually brings up a question that I had, speaking of different platforms. How algorithms are set is a big secret, and many people are probably connected to like-minded people on social media. Do those factors that might determine what we're seeing have an impact on what we believe and don't?
Yeah, algorithms are tricky because we don't know a lot about what happens, what algorithms are prioritizing, other than trying to maintain our attention on the screen. I do think that given that we know algorithms are determining that to some extent, it's very interesting that people who were news literate are not only posting less content, they're seeing less news and political content across all three of, or across both Facebook and YouTube. So there might be something happening where this kind of post, they're not posting, and therefore they're also not seeing news and political content.
Back to the phones, and Janine in Ferryville is up. Hi, Janine.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Well, I've been listening, of course, and the last speaker is right about the algorithms that are used to govern what a director of a news program, say on television or on radio, decides it should go out there on the broadcast. The same thing occurs in print, of course. That's what the chief editor is for. Most of my news comes from the Financial Times. I consider it fairly reputable, not entirely, but fairly reputable. And a lot of the really good intelligence is in the advertising, not in the news stories.
All right. And thanks for that. And Emily, you know, there is a lot of different information on the websites we see in the newspapers we see, and some might be more reliable than others.
That's exactly right. So again, making sure that we're being critical, we're being thoughtful, we're consuming information and thinking about the source and the goals behind that is really important, rather than just out of hand dismissing whole spaces for news.
All right, let's go back to the phones, and Marcus in Madison is up. Hi, Marcus.
Hi. The definition of media literacy, a cute phrase coming from a school of journalism, would be easy to predict before you hear anything about it. Media literacy means understanding the viewpoint that's being represented. The question is not who's saying the viewpoint, who's paying for it. So over many years, just as an example, when I listen to news, instead of looking at source documents, I listen to shortwave radio. I listen to radio stations from all over the world. And when you do this, you find pretty quickly that, for instance, if you want to know what our ridiculous decade-long military adventures are about, you don't go to U.S. media because both sides of the partisans vote for these wars. So the media that reflects their viewpoint constantly lies about it or is silent.
Thanks for that call, Marcus. And Marcus, I think, brings up a very interesting point, Emily, that it's not just looking at sources from across our political spectrum, but there's a whole world out there that might bring a lot of different layers into any issue.
I think that's right. And I also think the point about really understanding the economic structures, the economic incentives as part of reading sources critically is very important.
And Emily, before we let you go, what are some ways that we can develop our media literacy?
So I think making sure that we're self-critical as well, not just assuming that we are news literate because we feel news literate, trying to stay up to date with, you know, how the media is structured, thinking critically about what the effects of the media are on people who read it, thinking about the economic incentives. Those are all really important, but also recognizing the connection between news literacy, news consumption, and democracy. Society depends on people being participatory, being engaged, and sharing and consuming high-quality information. So trying to do our best to contribute to that as well.
Well, Emily, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Emily Vraga is an associate professor at the Hubbard School of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of Minnesota. Her research focuses on how individuals process news and information about controversial issues. She joined us to discuss the impact of news literacy on what we see, believe, and share on social media.